afternoon, everybody, and welcome in. Happy opening day, along with Jerry D'Errio. I'm Dennis Fithian, and we are ready to get things underway. Oh, it's an exciting time all around the state of Michigan, and it's great to have Jerry with us here on this Friday. Jerry, how are you?
Great to be a Michigan Wolverine. Danny, got my national championship hat on from Top Cat and Valiant Sports, Johnny Wangler, and my shirt on. I feel like I'm totally official.
Give me a little closer look at that hat. I like that. I haven't taken a... Got a little
patch on the side there, alumni patch, you know, like a corporal or a sergeant or something like that, and feeling good about being a Michigan Wolverine.
Yeah, well, you should feel good, and you look good with that hat, and it's a good time to have that on. Well,
hey, Danny, that hat also covers up some things, thinning out a little bit, so it covers that up a little bit.
Well, you've got a lot to cover up today with everything. It's a great sports weekend.
Awesome.
Here in the state of Michigan, and a lot of that has to do with the Michigan Wolverines, who will play hockey. We will get to them right out of the gate. The Wolverines in the Frozen Four in St. Paul, Minnesota. Also, with basketball, Dusty May has brought in some assistants. We've got some word on a few of the guys from last year, whether they're coming, whether they're going, and how many different, how to build this roster. I'm going to ask Jerry, if he was Dusty, just how he would be approaching it, how he thinks Coach May is working through from coaches to players, and what he might try to put out on the hardwood next year for the Maize and Blue. And then we're never too far. Jerry started out with it, talking about Michigan football, and we're never too far away. And right now, we are 2 weeks away from the spring game tomorrow. And so, you know, that will excite everyone. And I would expect 60,000 plus at the Big House for the game. Nice weather. I'm going to say 60,000 plus either. And I was looking at the extended forecast, and it looked like it was going to be close to 60. Now, that's Michigan, and Jerry, we all know how that is, but at least as we sit here right now, you know, people like over and unders. It's part of the lexicon now with gambling and everything being legal. I'm putting and it'll be an estimate anyway, so I don't think they're going to count the people in, but I'll put the over and under at 55,000 right now.
I'm going over, Denny.
You're going over. I am too. Since I said 60 and I looked at the weather, I'm going over as well. But our third segment, I'll throw four different questions at Jerry, and I want to know, when it comes down to Michigan football, is he buying that question that I give him, or is he selling it? And so we'll get to that. And then always we will take your questions, your feedback as well. So if you are out there and you want to get in and you have a question, you have a point, Jerry will weigh in on it. I'll give my two cents as well. And that's how we will do it. Now, Jerry, we do start with hockey, and last weekend was a great one for the Michigan hockey program as they win two games, the second game against Michigan State, and that advances them to the Frozen Four for the third year in a row. The football team, as we all know, made the college football playoffs 3 years in a row, and third time was a charm for Michigan. Now the hockey team, they are in the Frozen Four, and they're hoping for a third time as a charm. And like football, Michigan won in 96 and 98, so it's pretty similar there too, the drought for championships. When you talk about Michigan hockey and Michigan football, there's some parallels there. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you're thinking Michigan hockey right now?
Well, one thing I want to address right now, Scott Sessler is talking about, I need to upgrade Scar's Michigan gear. Let me tell you something, Scar. He still has Johnny Falk grays in his closet. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. He's still got the Johnny Falk grays from when we played at Michigan. So, Scott, that's a tough one. That's going to be a tough one. I'm sure he's got the connections, and he can get it done. But he loves his old-time gear. Let me say a couple things about Michigan hockey. When we were watching the game here in Florida with my old roommate Vinny DeFelice, we were watching Michigan hockey, and I'll tell you what, Barcheski, is that how you say his last name?
Yes, the goaltender. Yep,
goaltender. Outstanding. Outstanding performance. 38 out of 40 shots stops. Made some phenomenal one-hand grabs out of the air. Played absolutely phenomenal. And I think he outplayed the kid from Michigan State. That was an absolute great effort. And I believe he did it in front of his hometown. I believe he's from that area, isn't he?
Barcheski is I'm not a Canisius he went to, and he's from Missouri, O'Fallon, Missouri. There you go, Jerry. How about that?
So that was awesome. Nazar with the pass, and I think that's how you say his name.
Nazar, close.
Nazar, that's pro material. That is absolute pro material. I you don't see that too often. You don't see it too often in the pros. And when he did that, just an outstanding effort. The one young man, I forgot who that was. I think it was Brindley, who went all the way around and hooked it into the net to get us tied, I believe it was. Just an outstanding effort all game long by all those guys. A team that was not supposed to be there this year. Probably 3 weeks ago, we're looking on the outside. We're sitting on the outside looking in. And, you got to give Ward Manuel a little shout out here of three coaches that he's hired, big name, big program coaches. One of them's proven well so far. You can't take anything away from the hockey hire. And two Frozen Fours in a row. Outstanding effort, and Michigan hockey looks like it's on the right track moving forward.
Yeah, the Nazar pass, a lot of people brought up years ago when Mike Lake did the lacrosse goal, which was unbelievable, and it was also in the NCAA tournament, so the stakes were at an all-time high when Lake did that. It was the same thing with Nazar to give Michigan the two-goal lead. My question is, you're a coach. You played, so you understand that part. Then you understand the coaching side. Hockey players in practice, they'll try anything. They're trying all kinds. It's the same thing in basketball. It would be like, throwing a, some kind of behind the back, around the world, no look pass that worked in football. In football, gimmicks are nice until they don't work. And then people are like, why are you getting gimmicky? I don't know. So what do you say? It worked. So it's like, great. And it was like one of the greatest things of all time. But if it doesn't work, are you saying, are you yelling at the TV? Hey, how about just slide it across in the fundamentals? And so get them a two goal lead. What are your thoughts there?
Kind of like Michigan football against Texas TCU a couple years ago on the goal line, running a reverse and losing yards, losing big yards like that. I look at big games, and as a player, you always used to get jacked up and fired up all year. And as I grew as a coach, I started thinking about it, and I would see my teams getting ready for big games and almost getting out of their head and not being ready by the time the game started. So, because they were so fired up all week long, there was such an importance all week long going into this game that by the end of the week or by game time, you're almost on a downward spiral. Does that make sense, Denny? In other words, let's kind of treat it's hard to do, but you have to. We got to treat this game like every other game. Do what we do best. Focus all week. Stay cool and focused all week and start rising when game time comes instead of going downward when game time comes. So as a coach, I kind of matured a little bit more and kind of figured that Yeah, it's a big game. Yeah, our kids know that. They don't need to be reminded of it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. They don't need to be reminded that how big this game is. Let's just focus on what we do this week, and put our best game forward on game night.
Yeah, that's always been interesting to me. And I have always guessed that you do also have to know the rooms, you know, some of your team all together, maybe one game, if you're a big time underdog, you do need a little bit of a pep talk before to, you know, kind of go get them. If you're, you know, big time favorite, you know, going in there and telling them, let's, you know, go charging that. So you got to read the room. And then meanwhile, you know, I just think about them, and you know, this is a little dangerous sometimes, you know, I talk about the movies and I go back to Hoosiers and Gene Hackman, you know, he's going up against the little small school, and he puts the tape measure out there and say, hey, look, it's still, and then he brings the preacher in to quote David and Goliath. And then he said, and then he swung the stone at the Philistine and hit him, and everybody was so fired up, you know, and they beat him. But the other one was Herb Brooks, who was the coach of the USA hockey team, and they were going up against the Russians, and that, you know, they made it in. Kurt Russell, I believe, you know, played, you probably saw that movie Miracle. And I don't know how close to the pregame speech it was before they played the Russians, but that, again, that had me all fired up, Jerry. You know, he went with the approach of, if we played these guys 100 times, we're going to lose 99. I think he said, he goes, but not tonight, you know, and he had him, and he just had me ready to go, you know, play the Russians and everything too. So you're going to get to pick your spots and kind of know the situation, right?
That's building up to the game. Yes. Pre-game work, you know, but again, all that hype, as soon as that first hit occurs, that first play occurs, now it's just playing the sport. Now it's just doing your job. Now you got to be focused. And you know, those are typically the teams that win. They're focused for the whole time.
How about Bo during the season, during the week, pretty measured guy. Then game day, was he at, you know, come out and give you a fire and brimstone and then take it to the Ohio State week? He knows that you don't want to peak too early, but then, you know, is it right before kickoff? Is he, you know, really giving you the, you know, speech that you always remember? How did he approach it?
Well, you know, I remember the Ohio State game, and I think it was George Loja told me, he said, you're gonna go into the Ohio State week, and it's going to be gone before you know it, because it's such a movement. It's such momentum going into the game. The week of preparation is important. That's all important. But it's almost like, you know, practice is hard. And when you're going into Ohio State game, you want to practice. You want to do those kinds of, you want to do the things you don't like every other week. You know what I'm saying? You don't really like to give your best effort at practice going against Northwestern sometimes when they were down when we played them. But when you're going against Ohio State, big games like that, Michigan State, you know, those are the ones where you really focused on practice. And I don't really remember the big hype all week long. I remember the big hype before the game, the pep talks before the game, the punch before the game. But practice was always focused, ready to go. We were always reminded who Ohio was, who they were all year long. It didn't matter that week. That week was already set up by the other 51 weeks of the year. So you kind of move right into the game from week 10, which was when I played him.
It's a little bit different. 11. It's a little bit different, Jerry, but I remember 2006, you know, Bo died on the day before the 2006 Michigan-Ohio State game. 4 days earlier, he made an appearance at the press conference. I was there. And, you know, he started out, there were a couple players or people that were associated with Michigan that passed away. And I remember looking up there and feeling bad, you know, because he was talking about, you know, his players. And I was also thinking that, you know, he didn't look the greatest. But then there was like three or four questions, and somebody said, hey, you know, Bo, how often, you know, did you prepare for Ohio State back in your day? And it was like a flip switch flipped, and he said, every day. And he started, you know, and he started building up. And next thing you know, he was as lively as he ever was. So I just remember that, how that just stoked his fire, you know, asking him about the preparation for Michigan and Ohio State. What about yourself? Did you get to a big game? You know, you coached, what, 20 years? Is that what you coached in?
Right, exactly. And
you show up sometimes on game day or at halftime where you feel like you needed to read them the riot act, you know, you go in, you know, and do that.
You know, Denny, there was we were making our first playoff run when I was at Wayland, one of my first years as a head coach. And we were playing South Christian, and South Christian was the bully of our conference, and great football team, state champions, perennial state power every year. And we had just beaten our rival, Middleville. And after the game, it was almost like I didn't let the kids enjoy the win over Middleville. Mm. And I was so stoked on going after South Christian. We're going to go after South Christian right now. And we're going to start. Well, as the week progressed, I felt our team almost peaked too early, so to speak. And I remember one of my assistant coaches saying, you know what, I think we need to, from in the future, look at games as every game. There's no difference. I mean, you can be beat by anybody. We know that there's red letter games. We know that these games are big. Why put all the pressure on the kids that early in the week? Let them build into it and let them peak at the at game time. And that was one thing that I remember early in my high school head coaching career. And I kind of lived with that the rest of the way. And I think it worked for the most part.
I like how both in hockey and in basketball, they're strange sports, because you take Purdue, for example, who's in the Final Four for the first time since 1980. If you removed the NCAA tournament and you just talked about Purdue as a basketball program, you would say that they were a blue blood. They win the Big Ten almost every other year. They're right there. They are, but they have had no success in the NCAA tournament until this year when they get to the Final Four. It's fair, it's unfair, whatever. But here they are, and it's like that. It's an accomplishment. My point is that you get there, and it is an accomplishment. Michigan has made it 3 years in a row. But you got to get in there, and they've had better teams than they've had right now, and they've come up short. But you just keep taking your chances getting in there, and, you know, I think it is anybody's championship to win. Having said that, Jerry, the people are calling for a prediction, and I am going to let you make a prediction first on Michigan.
Michigan hockey?
Yeah, their game coming up tomorrow night.
I can't go against my blue. I'm going with the blue all the way. They're going to win it all. I really do like Barcheski playing right now. I think at goalie, he is setting fire. He's starting to get hot right now, and that's the best time to get hot. Brindley seems to be a real leader. The power play broke through Michigan State one time last week, and remains the number one power play in the country. So we got as good a chance as anybody else. We got a 25% chance as anybody else, and I like our chances.
Well, Jerry, backing it up, saying that you believe that Michigan has the goaltending, I would agree with you on that. They do have the goaltending. What's it take to win big-time games and big-time moments? It takes great defense. It takes great goaltending, and Michigan is getting that right now. I also like that they're getting their number one pair back on defense. They had to do it without Seamus Casey, who was banged up the last game against MSU. He's back. He's going to be in the lineup. So Michigan's full go. And the way they're playing right now, I think that they can pull this upset and get to the championship game. I am picking Michigan to win the game 4-2 in advance to the championship game. So there's my forecast. It was asked for by Scott. So there it is.
We're going with each other.
All right. Well, Jerry, 2 weeks ago you said that you wanted to see Dusty May as the next Michigan basketball coach, and you got what you wished for, and here he is. He's hired a couple assistants. And we have found out just over the last couple of days that Will Cheddar, he is coming back. Meanwhile, Terrence Williams, the second, is putting his name in the transfer portal and declaring for the NBA. He could come back, but it makes it seem like he's probably not. But, there still is a chance there. But, you've got 9 scholarships and we haven't heard it. It also makes you think that Namari Burnett, who could come back, and also Jace Howard, who could come back. We're waiting on words for those guys coming back. There could be more than, the 9 scholarships. So, I don't know, Jerry, how do you approach it if you're May? You have your targets. Are you giving them a certain amount of time to think about it? You've got your style of play. You've got preps. Most of them have already committed, so it's slim pickings when you're talking about the high school kids. But you have the transfer portal. There's all kinds of players over there. I mean, so you're going to have a mixture of all of that. But what do you think is going through his mind as he thinks about the personnel that he wants to put on the floor and with keeping in mind the future?
Denny, my statement to coach would be, do it just like you did at FAU. Do it the same way. When you look at FAU's lineup last year and this year, I mean, this was a very experienced team, an older team, 21, 22, 23 years old, fourth-year sophomores. I don't know how that's listed. Fourth-year juniors. So they had a lot of experience. And this kind of goes with the transfer portal theory, not only in basketball, but football and everything else. You're starting to see these teams that have the older kids playing, and they're the ones that are advancing. And, when you're coming in, you're Coach May, you're coming into Michigan – you really don't have any feelings to worry about. You're coming off the worst season in Michigan basketball since the 50s. You don't care about anybody's feelings at this point in time. You've got a really nice situation where you can implement everything you want to do. And, I'm also looking at this lineup that he had at FAU, and it kind of reminds me of Beilein and the system that Beilein played. The smaller lineups. The 6'6"s and the guards, the emphasis on the guards to get the system implemented well. So I see a lot of similarities between him and Beilein. Great background. Coach with Knight, and so he knows the toughness of basketball and how basketball can be played. So if my advice to Coach May, do what you did at FAU, bring it on with us, and we'll get there we'll go from there.
Yeah, I think the most important player for him is from FAU, Jonnell Davis, a 6'4" guard.
Yep.
He's just recently put his name in the transfer portal. Yep. There's not one player you say that's everything, but man, he would hit a home run right out of the gate if he gets Jonnell Davis. That guy, I think he's. I know A.J. Storr from Wisconsin's a hell of a player, but I think Davis is if Storr's number one in the transfer portal, I'll put Davis as number two. And then with his connection with Dusty May, Michigan being off and running, he's got a couple teammates, as you already mentioned. These guys are graduating seniors or could get there, taking some classes, so it would help being able to get Michigan, having those guys. Meanwhile, I was looking at a ranking, and I forget who did the ranking, I would say it, but they were ranking all the guys in the transfer portal, and I noticed there were players from Stanford, Yale. We know about Yale, the 7-footer, the redhead, and there was also a player from Harvard. So you got Stanford, Harvard, Yale. I'm thinking that maybe admissions is going to be a little bit easier being able to get those guys, and they were highly ranked, at least from this one list I was looking at. So there's some players out there, and I did see that May was in Indiana. There's the kid that was committed but did not sign, Connie Ruths, who's down at IMG, and he's a top 50 player, and May was there. Watching him play, getting Ruth, so and Davis, right now, I would say that is, you know, you're off and running. I was looking at Rivals top 100 players, and all of them are committed except Ruth's, and there's one five-star kid who's not committed. I don't know what his circumstance is. I would imagine that Michigan going to be calling him too, saying, hey. But I don't know. You're not just taking a prep player, you know, just to fill the scholarship. I would imagine that there's going to be, you know, since they're already the majority of the top guys are committed, I think I'm trying to answer the question that I gave you, that we're going to see it's going to be heavier than you might even expect in the transfer portal, just because I don't think the prep players are available in there.
Well, a few things in what you said there, Denny. Number one, Davis, I don't know anything about the innards of FAU basketball or anything like that, but I will bet you they will say that Davis was May on the court. He was the extension of the coach, like a Tebow for Urban Meyer. You know, those types of relationships where the player and the coach have that kind of relationship, where they're an extension of the coach on the court, and that always works in favor of the team. And so I don't think it's a stretch that Davis comes to Michigan. He's, you know, that's the kid that's a fourth-year sophomore, I think, or the fourth-year sophomore that was listed on the on the roster. So I wouldn't be surprised. Number one. Number two, you've got Michigan with a new head coach. You might just see decommits coming to Michigan all of a sudden. And so Michigan has a new coach. There's probably some college basketball coaches that are a little concerned that they might lose some commits that they thought were solidly in their camp. I think that's the kind of impact Coach May can have at Michigan. He can bring in, or he can open some of these recruits back up. And so those are my two points. You know, those are my two points. I think Davis is an extension. I think there's going to be some recruits that are going to rethink Michigan a little bit now that you got May. And I think he's going to come in with a system that's very similar to what we had with Beilein.
Yeah, and my final point is there were some people that were wondering if you, when you look at the assistants that Dusty May's bringing in, he had a connection with one of the recruits, and people are saying, well, you're just bringing in a coach because he has a connection with a recruit. And I was thinking, not necessarily, but if you have 10 coaches that you're considering that you could bring on your staff and they're all qualified, the one that has a connection with one of the preps seems like a pretty good avenue to go to. And it happens all the time. I go back, you know, it's not that far. There was an outstanding high school basketball coach in Detroit named Perry Watson for years with Detroit Southwestern. And Michigan hired him, and he was the high school coach of Jalen Rose. And Jalen Rose came to Michigan. A lot of people thought that Michigan hired Perry Watson to get Jalen Rose, and maybe they did. But it was a good move, and Watson was – qualified, and he had the connection to Jalen, and there you go, the part of the Fab Five.
Oh, and that can set up your future, too. I mean, you bring in a guy who has a great relationship with a player, and the player pans out well without any NCAA allegations, that can lead to more years later on down the road with recruits. So bringing in that's not a bad thing, to bring in a coach that has a relationship with a good player right off the bat. I don't think that's such a bad deal.
I don't either. Jerry, let's switch and talk some football, and unless you don't want to. I mean,
I'm good. Let's go. I definitely want to talk some football. I have to talk some football.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
All right. Well, I've come up with four different questions, and I'm going to ask you if you buy or sell what I'm putting out there. As always, if you're out there, you get your comments in, you have any questions for Jerry afterwards or during this buy and sell segment, we'll put those questions up on the board. All right, the first buy or sell comes from Khalil Mullings, Michigan running back. Mullings this week said he considers Donovan Edwards and himself thunder and lightning. Do you think this year, Michigan, are you buying or selling that the Michigan running game is going to be Lightning, Donovan Edwards, and Thunder, Khalil Mullings. Buy or sell?
I'm buying and selling. Our running game is going to be just as good as last year, maybe better. Corum was a phenomenal running back. But I'll tell you one thing that Edwards brings that Corum struggled with a little bit, and that was breaking the big one and going the distance. I mean, we saw Edwards break it against Ohio State twice his sophomore year, against Washington, against Penn State. And once he breaks it, he's gone. And I don't know if Corum really had that kind of breakaway speed that could put it in the end zone and at those points in the game and at those places in the game. Remember, Donovan was on his side of the field against Ohio State a couple times. Mullings is that real tough, hard-nosed running back that, you know, he's going to get you. He's going to get some tough yards. And so, yeah, I could see our running game being as good, every bit as good as last year, and maybe better. And remember, the offensive line is going to have a lot to say with it. And so you've got two phenomenal running backs behind a great offensive line. It's going to make for a great running game. And our offensive line is looking very good. From what I'm hearing inside, our offensive line is looking very good, very deep. We've got some guys that are out right now, and there's some guys playing that are making impacts and making coaches take real long looks. I can't think of the young man's last name from New Jersey. Dom. I can't think of his last name. Big offensive lineman out of New Jersey, offensive guard, who's having a phenomenal spring, from what I understand. In fact, he's grading out very high this spring so far. So, and this is a guy that I don't think many people had on the radar as a starting offensive lineman.
Derek Jadis?
Huh?
Derek Jadis? Is that
who? No. Dom, what's Dom's last name? Gosh darn it. He's out of New Jersey. Give me a second to pull this up here.
Okay.
Maybe you keep talking, Denny. I don't like that silence.
Well, that's all right. We're good.
But I'm seeing – I'm not going to be able to pull it up right now, but I'm seeing our offensive line doing real, real good things right now. Crippen is a phenomenal center. I think he's a little banged up right now. But if we don't get Nugent last year, he probably would have started at center. Percy is making an impact right now. And from what I saw and what I've heard, Big Boy Hinton looks pretty good. I saw a picture of that kid, and from what I'm seeing, he's looking like a big time NFL draft choice.
I like it. As far as me on the question, I could easily buy it, but I'm going to sell in this regard. I think Donovan Edwards should be better than he was last year. He had injuries, not just the hand injury, thumb injury that he had, but he also had his knee. He said going through spring, he was still working through that. So I don't know whether you want to put him at whether he was that was part of his, if you wanted to call him struggles throughout some of the year, and then he got it going at a pretty good time against Penn State and obviously in the national championship game. But, you know, they're going to be depending on him. I think that he can play better. But the thing about Blake Corum is that I think he's the greatest running back in Michigan history. So and even as much as I like Khalil Mullings and I like some of the guys, in particular Ben Hall, what I saw from him in the spring game and what people are saying, and I've got some other backs there, I'm going to sell. That could be a thunder and lightning, but considering the lightning and lightning from last year and questions with the offensive line, I'm going to have to sell that they're going to be this thunder and lightning for Michigan.
Are you selling the thunder and lightning, or are you selling that Michigan's running game is going to be amongst the best in the country?
Yeah, I'm selling both of those off the bat right now, as much as that, okay. I know that doesn't sound fun, you know, when it comes down to U of M, I'm going to sell it. All right.
I'm buying it.
How about Michigan's defense? You know, Jim Scarcelli, who joins us right now on Wednesdays on the Maize and Blue Review, has said a number of times that he believes this Michigan defense, the 2024 Michigan defense is not going to have any drop off, and it can be as good or better than the last 3 years of Michigan defenses that have been put out there that Jim Harbaugh had out there. Are you buying or selling that this Michigan defense is going to be as good or better than, let's say, last year's?
Danny, I'm gonna preface this and say it's a two-part question.
Okay.
And do you want the good news or the bad news first?
I always like the good news first.
Well, good news is we got the best personnel in the country. Without question, in my mind, the best personnel coming back on the defensive side is in Ann Arbor, Michigan right now. And if you look at that defense, a number of those players were juniors. So they all came in together and they all have experience together. Graham started as a freshman. Johnson started as a freshman. Sab left and he was a player, but Michigan, who else? The linebacker,
Junior Colson.
No. The one that's coming back.
Oh, the ones that are coming back for
the number. I think it was 15.
Houseman and Houseman. They also Houseman. Have. Yeah, Houseman. 15 is the. Yep.
Okay, so you've got some really solid players coming in off probably one of the best recruiting classes Michigan's ever had, and so personnel wise, I don't see anybody in the country matching us on defense. And I think personnel wise, yes, I would buy that we will be better than last year, the year before, or the year before that. Yes, personnel wise.
Yeah, I have to sell that Michigan's defense is going to be as good as last year's. Look, last year's defense was number one in the country in points per game. So thinking that they're going to be better without and they have the outstanding personnel, and you know, this is a little bit of a Rod Moore hangover without having, you know, your quarterback at safety who looks like he's going to be out for the year, but also Mike Sainra still made big play after big play. I don't know about just dropping guys in there and feeling like you're going to find the next Mike Sainra still. It was like a generational playmaker for Michigan. Oh, that's going to be tough.
Well, I'm going to answer that one real quick. I think, and I'm hearing reports out of the camp, out of spring ball, Waller is a player, is a stud. And when you look at him, and like I said, demographically, I used to like to see guys playing that reminded me of past players. I had a defensive end. His name was Joey Mitchell. Big, tall, athletic kid, 6'4", 6'5", ran down things from the backside, blocked passes. That demographic I was always looking for, defensive end, from that point on. When I look at Waller, and think of yourself if you're Wink Martindale. Here's a kid listed at 6'3". He's 6'4". We know Michigan undervalues their size. Okay, we know that from the combine.
Okay.
We know that for a fact. Okay.
All right.
So we know Waller's 6'4". We know he's around what, 210? 215? Somewhere in there? We'll say 205. Somewhere between 205 and 215. Who does he remind me of? Okay. Who would he remind me of as far as Wink Martindale is concerned? I'm going out on a stretch. I think he can remind people of Kyle Hamilton at the Ravens. Okay. A big, strong safety, tall, that can make plays on the ball. If you coach this young man up at safety, I think he can make a huge difference. And I'm going to compare him to another guy that I played with the Denver Broncos. His name was Dennis Smith. I love tall, lanky, hard-hitting, heavy free safeties, because those all of a sudden create alligator arms on receivers. You know, you're going across the middle and you're gonna get a tattoo from these guys. You're looking for them, and your arms get a little bit shorter there. I would love to see Waller transition to safety and them work with him a lot. And I think that position could be as solid as anybody on that defense. Linebacker, Barnum, from what I'm hearing, is an absolute stud. Okay, this kid, and I'm not talking just from what Scar said the other day. I'm talking about this kid is making a huge impact in spring ball from what I'm hearing. This kid is a stud. He's a player. Got an interception against JJ last year. And tough, hard-nosed kid. One of those kids is going to come down and stuff that fullback on those short yardage plays. So, linebacker, defensive line, I don't know anybody's going to argue that we have the best defensive line in the country coming back. You're going to have to really show me something to tell me our four guys up there, which are probably 8 and 10 when you really look at it, are going to be aren't going to be the best. And so when you got that, you got the front four with an 8 or 10 man rotation. You got Barnum at linebacker, Houseman at linebacker. You've got the four at the edges, Stewart and Harrell, and then you got the best corner in football, in college football, with Johnson. I'm very bullish on our personnel on the defensive side.
All right. Almost everything you said there is correct. And I think when you go to the defense, Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, and then you go to Derek Moore, which you mentioned. Now, you said Harrell. He did go pro, but
I meant Moore. Excuse me. My bad.
And Josiah Stewart is that makes up a great front four. I'm with you there. I know you knew that. I mean, it is impressive. And we keep hearing the names. You know, Scar mentioned that he liked how TJ Guy looked out there as one of the edges. And every time anyone anywhere watches a Michigan practice, they keep bringing up Eno Etta's name, which is good because he was highly thought of coming in, and people keep saying he looks good out there. So he could be in the mix there at edge two. And now the way they rotate him in last year when they had McGregor and Harrell and Moore and Josiah Stewart, that really helped.
You've got 8 or 10 that are going to fix into that four-man rotation. And that means you're going to be fresh with solid personnel. I like our personnel.
Scott thinks that you're on fire today, Jerry.
Oh, thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. I'm fired up. I'm jacked up about Michigan sports in general.
I've got two more buy or
sell. Okay, you want me to give me why I don't buy?
Yeah. Go ahead. Okay.
Incomplete so far on the coaching staff. And here's what I mean. I'm happy with the coaching staff that has been hired. I like Wink Martindale. I like the other coaches. Esposito was a good hire coming in place of Scruggs. So I like the coaches. I don't want to see Michigan football return to Blitzburg and lose their gap sound defensive philosophy, the fit that they've had over the last 3 years. Okay. You know, Matt Patricia came into the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's dropping Hassan Reddick, one of the best edge rushers in football, and he's dropping him in pass coverage and bringing safeties and linebackers on blitzes, and it wasn't working. Okay, you've got four pass rushers, you got four linemen. They are geared to rush the pass. They know how to do it. They know how to release their hips. They know how to do the things that they need to do to get to the quarterback and to stop the run. When you start dropping defensive linemen out and bringing the safeties in, I think you're defeating your defense. I'm not crazy about that philosophy. I know that it's spring ball. I know that we want to see some different things. We want to get our kids a little bit uncomfortable with what's going on so they get comfortable in the summertime. Does that make sense, Denny? Right now, they might be a little bit uncomfortable because we're introducing a lot of different things. And those things are going to – those blitz packages could come up and be very successful later on during the season. I don't want to get away from our gap sound philosophy and the way those kids know how defense can be played. And so that's where I'm incomplete on the defense and the coaching system. We'll see next year if we make a full turnaround and go Blitzburg, I'm concerned. If we sprinkle it in with what we're doing, I think we're going to be just fine.
I hear you. I like what Richard here is saying as well. If you got Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant tying up the entire defensive line, and you got Derek Moore and Josiah Stewart firing off. I mean,
why do you need the blitz?
Why? Right.
Why? Okay. Why put those guys in positions that they're not going to be familiar with, hence won't be successful with? And that's my concern coming out of spring ball. I know it's spring ball. I know they want to send a lot of different messages and see how kids react and put them in position. But at the end of the day, which won the conferences for Michigan football on the defensive side is its fit and its gap sound defense.
So to recap, the defense will be as good as last year's. You are both buying and waiting and seeing on that. All right, let's get to
personnel. Yes, coaching philosophy incomplete.
Okay, let's get to number three on buy and sell. Regardless of who is named the Michigan quarterback, the Wolverines will be in contention for a playoff berth. Are you buying or selling that statement? Regardless of who is named quarterback, Michigan will compete for a playoff berth in 2024.
I'm going to buy cautiously. Again, I'm going back to what is our defense going to look like next year? Are we going to be a sound base? Gap sound defense, there's no question. I see us in the Big Ten championship game, probably as the one seed. If we go into this Blitzburg, I think we're rolling the dice.
Yeah, I think this is a tricky question because Michigan with Cade McNamara, obviously with JJ, they had a playmaker and a difference maker, and with Cade, they had a little bit better than a game manager, and they were able to get to the college football playoff. So you're thinking, like, if they have anything there that they could be competitive for a playoff berth. But I'm going to sell this. I don't think you could just have anyone. You have to protect the ball. They have to do a great job being able to run this team. They might not have to be the number one option and the most important player. That's different than most teams because U of M is going to be running it so much. Hey, this quarterback can be running it a lot. But you have to protect the ball, and you do have to make some plays. And there's you can't just have anyone back there. So I'm going to sell that notion as well, that it doesn't matter who Michigan has back there. It's going to matter. You still need somebody back there that can protect.
Did I misunderstand the question, Dane? What was the question again?
The question is regardless.
Oh, regardless. Yeah, I'm still buying. I'm still buying. Because I think our two quarterback or three quarterbacks that we have in camp right now, I think can lead us to a playoff berth.
Okay. All right. Well, let's get to number four. And for those of you who did not know, Jerry, he's just not the OG. The OG stands for offensive guard, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Not old gangster or old grandpa. That means Wink Martindale said, that's what it stood for when he called himself the OG. Offensive guard from Cardinal Mooney. U of M's O-line, their decorated offensive line, won't drop off this year in 2024. Jerry, what do you say? Are you buying or selling that Michigan's offensive line won't have any drop-off?
Selling at first part of the season, incomplete later. We just lost a great, phenomenal, maybe one of the best offensive lines in Michigan football history. I mean, you just lost Zach Zenner, Nugent, Keegan, Barnhart, and Henderson.
Yeah. Right.
All invited to the combine. I mean that you don't replace that easy. That's a tough replacement right there. However, what I will say is, and this is again from what I'm hearing inside, there's a lot of depth on that offensive line, a lot of size on that offensive line, and they're going to be hungry coming into the season. So they're going to make mistakes early. We're going to have to deal with some mistakes early. Texas is going to probably come in and try to do some things to confuse us up front a little bit. But I think by the middle of the season, we're going to see if this line can match what we've had in the past 3 years.
Yeah, I think for all the reasons that you're talking about, these guys might be excellent, this Michigan offensive line that they bring in. And there still might be a little bit of drop-off. If they get an injury, they could bring in Trent A. Jones, who's going to be playing an offensive line in the NFL. It's one of the great offensive lines that Michigan has ever had. So even though I'm selling these, the offensive line can be good enough where, you know, they don't need to win the Joe Moore Award like they did two of the, you know, previous 3 years. They don't need to be last year's national championship offensive line. But they could still grow into this position. And heck, if they go out there and beat Texas, all of these things that, you know, they look like they're going to arrive a lot quicker. And that's like, even though I've sold all of these, if they get a quarterback that can protect the football and move the team and get them into the end zone and produce enough points, well, this team can compete for the Big Ten and also getting into the college football playoff. And, you know, just like the defense being number one, you don't have to be number one at defense. It just so happens that everything is going to be compared to the national champs, and they were stocked at every single position. U of M was, including on the coaching staff. And that's where I get back to Mullings and Edwards. Blake Corum was so great, and these guys might be, and Edwards, I think both of the running backs are going to be better than they were last year, but you know, Blake Corum was great. So I'm selling a little bit. There's going to be a thunder and lightning that's going to compare to the lightning and lightning, you know, that they had last year. But it still doesn't mean that they can't have a great season, can make the college football playoff. I just wanted to see how you were going to go through those, Jerry.
Hey, I want to talk about Johnny Olden's got something up here. Can we talk about OG? And Corey G is on there saying the same thing. He's all hyped up on RG. Couple things here real quick. I think our quarterback is going to be we're going to be fine. I think Orgy, he's a scary one for the defense because you're going to have to count on him being a number two running back or number three running back in a two or three running back set. So Orgy, he brings a real scare to a defensive coordinator. And I'm going to tell you why. I especially don't like blitzing teams that can pound the ball right down your throat. I remember going against Zealand West and Unity Christian, and that straight T, I pretty much got rid of the blitz package. I mean, I had a couple blitzes that all else is failing. We're gonna try to do something here. But when we were playing those guys, the one thing you don't want to do against a good running team is get two guys caught in the same gap, because a good running team can exploit that. And that's another reason why I like Donovan Edwards back there with Mullins, because Donovan seems to be able to exploit those types of situations where he catches guys, two guys in a gap, a safety, a corner following a receiver, and a receiver blocking two, and he finds that gap and he goes. And he's got the speed to break it. So that's why I'm kind of answering those two with the same. I'm high on Orgy. I think we don't know anything about his throwing, but I think he can develop, especially over the summer. They're going to have 7-on-7. They're going to be doing some stuff in the summertime. But he's going to be a real load to stop running the ball. And I'm still very good on – very high on Denigol. Denigol's got that arm strength, and he can run the ball too. Don't think Denigol can't run the ball. Don't think Denigol – is a big tall stiff, because we saw him run some people over against Nebraska And Nebraska's defense was pretty good, by the way. We saw him run over some people in Nebraska and some other places this year. So I'm fine with our two quarterbacks, both of them. And Tuttle, we don't know much about him. We don't know much about the injury, where he's at right there. But he's got the experience that that can be very effective as well.
You know, if Michigan comes out and beats Texas, I feel like they can rip off 6, 7, 8 in a row. I think they can be undefeated going into the Oregon game, and then Oregon game's at Michigan Stadium, you know, and so you don't put it past them winning that game. You feel like what kind of confidence could they have if they were 8-0, you know, hosting a top 10 Oregon team? That would be pretty good. So the Texas, to me, holds the keys of the season with the confidence because I don't, you know, USC, the way they play defense, Michigan is going to bulldoze. I feel good that Michigan's going
to
be.
We hope. We see. Hope. I'm to be honest with you, Denny, I could see USC being a much better football team this year than they were in the last 2 years. And I think.
Not on defense.
We'll see. Okay.
We'll see. There you go. Well, I like it. You know, when you come on here, you didn't say, hey, should I agree with everything that you say? I like it that you.
Well, Ward, you know, I do want to say one other thing. You know, Ward has proven that he can get that hockey coach. We're going to see about the basketball and the football program. If we nail those, I'm good with Ward Manuel.
All right. We are going through it. We appreciate everybody jumping in. Jerry, you have a great weekend. Lots to watch from basketball, women's, the men's, hockey. You've got opening day going on right now. Have a great weekend. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
You as well, Denny. Great being here. I love my Michigan sports and Michigan football. Hail to the victors.
There he is, Jerry Diario. Thanks for joining.